We are living in difficult economic times. And as I look around, I think things, even though gas prices are getting better, things are getting worse. You know things are bad when Walmart comes out and says that they didn't make their earnings and that their forecasts are bad. Then you know times are bad. But as we're living through these times, we need to be wise in how we handle our finances, wise in what we do with the blessing God has given us. And, you know, when we think of money, the reality is most people really don't like to talk about money. I mean, one of the last things, besides maybe politics, that are down there on the issues of what people want to talk about certainly is money. But the reality is that Jesus talked an awful lot about money. Think about this for a minute. When we look at the words of Christ, we see in the Gospels that there are 500 verses on prayer. There are 500 verses on faith, but there are more than 2,000 verses dealing with money in some form or fashion. One out of every 10 verses in the Gospel deals with money. So Jesus talked an awful lot about money. And we need to understand how to handle money because it affects so many areas of our life. Many people, as we look around in our world, I think have finally realized that money does not buy happiness. So now they're trying credit cards. One husband, as he was talking to his wife, said, because of current times, we need to really reconsider what we're doing. So he said, let's start with the basic necessities, food, clothing, and shelter, and you have a choice of any two. Someone has written, you know you're broke when American Express calls and says, leave home without it. You know you're broke when your idea of a seven-course meal is taking a deep breath outside a restaurant. You know you're broke when you rolled so many pennies that you formed a psychic bond with Abraham Lincoln. You know you're broke when long-distance companies don't call to switch you. You know you're broke when you rob Peter and then you rob Paul. You know you're broke when you finally clean your house hoping to find change. You know you're broke when your baloney has no first name. You know you're broke when you give blood every day just for the orange juice. You know you're broke when Sally Struthers sends you food. Justin saw that commercial. I want to talk this morning about four mistakes that people make with their finances. Number one, failure to plan. Failure to plan. These are things that you don't want to do, but unfortunately, an awful lot of people do. And one of the great mistakes they make with their finances is they simply fail to plan. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. The ant, in its way, plants. Of course, it's built into their system by God, but they gather all their food in the summer so that they are ready for winter. Once in a while, you might see them pop up in your house in the winter looking for more food, but basically they store their food in the summer so that they are ready for winter. One of the problems that people have with their finances and failing to plan is that they fail to plan for their daily needs. They fail to plan for their daily needs. And if you're going to plan for your daily needs, it's one simple little item that you need to get, and that's a budget. Keeping a monthly budget of what you spend and what you bring in so that you can make sure that they even out. In fact, if you look at your notes this morning, on the back of your notes, I've put in a monthly budget. Of course, there's no numbers in there. You got to fill that out yourself. But it's just a form that you can use to look at your finances and see some areas where you really ought to budget for, maybe some things that you haven't thought about. The reality is, if you are having a financial problem, there are only two ways out of that financial problem. Financial problems do not go away magically. They do not simply disappear.
You've got to do one of two things to get yourself out of a financial trouble. Number one, make more money. You know, if you put out your budget and you're spending more than you're taking in, you got to make more money. Or you've got to spend less. They are really the only ways out of a financial problem. Either you make more or you spend less. Part of spending less might mean selling things, but you can only do one or the other. It really does not matter how much money you make if you keep spending more than what you make. Have you ever noticed sometimes that you get a raise and you look at your finances, you say, we don't have any more money than we had before. Why is that? Because so often when we get raises, our spending goes up. So you either make more money or you spend less. And the only way you can tell what you need to do or really get a handle on that is to make a monthly budget. So we fail to plan for daily needs. Another failure we do in planning is to fail to plan for emergencies. And what happens? An emergency hits you, and instead of having cash to pay for that emergency, you use a credit card. And when you use that credit card, you just put yourself further in debt. Think about it. If you can't afford it today, you can't afford it tomorrow, plus 18%. If you go to a bank right now and you put money in a savings account, you may get 1, 2, possibly 3% earning on your money. But yet credit card companies are still charging 18, 20, 25%. Unless you got a really good one, you might be able to get one for 9, 10, 7%. But there's a vast difference between what a bank's going to give you in interest and what they make in charging you interest. And the reason for that is that they make the difference, and that's how they make their bank work. But that's no good for you, because all that it will do is get you further in debt. It is far better to put a little bit of money aside on a weekly or biweekly or monthly basis so when the emergency hits, you have the money. For example, I wondered this morning if I had $260 up here and I were to say, you know, I got $260 up here, how many of you would want it? Or let me rephrase it, how many of you could use it? Or if I said I had $520, how many of you could use it to pay a bill or to do something? You know, to have $260 by this time next year, all you really have to do is put away $5 a week. To have $520 by this time next year, all you really have to do is put away $10 a week. And those small amounts, if you just do that regularly and consistently, will add up to X amount of dollars so that when an emergency hits, you will have that money. Of course, if you put a little more away each week, then you'll have even more to pay for those tires you didn't expect, or the car repair you didn't expect, or the refrigerator that you didn't expect, or some financial emergency that comes your way. So not only do you need to watch and pay for your regular bills, but you need to plan for those emergencies. Then we also need to plan for retirement. Now, I've talked to so many people over the years that hit retirement and they have no money. You need to plan for retirement. And often those people will tell me, you know, find people who are younger and tell them to get ready for retirement. Do you know if you start in your 20s, 30s, or even your 40s, you can put a whole lot less money away and have a whole lot more money when you retire? For example, if you want $100,000 at retirement, and believe me, that is not enough money to retire on. But if you want $100,000 at retirement, and let's say you retire at age 65, if you start putting away money at age 55, 10 years before you retire, you're going to need to put away $446 every single month to be able to reach $100,000 at retirement at 12% interest. $446. But if you start when you're 21, you only need $10 a month. See, when you put time on your side, you can do a whole lot more money with a whole lot less money if you are faithful and consistent in putting money away. But if you wait until you hit retirement, it is almost impossible to catch up. Some people, trying to sound really, really spiritual, say, well, I'm not worried about retirement because I believe Jesus is going to come back, so I'm not going to have to deal with retirement. Well, what if he doesn't? What if Christ doesn't return? What are you going to do? And there are people, I'm sure, in our church that thought maybe Jesus would return before they retired, and he hadn't returned by their retirement. See, if we look at the ant here, a very simple little creature in verse 6 to 8, it has some wisdom. It stores things in summer. Why? Because it can't get them in winter. And we need to do the same. Whether you're saving for retirement, again, there are many vehicles to do that. You may have a 401k at work. And if you do, you ought to put money in it. You can use IRAs. There are different kinds of IRAs, regular IRAs or Roth IRAs. There are all kinds of vehicles that you can use to put away for retirement. And if you are younger, you need to make sure that you are doing that. Be smart like the ant. So we need to plan for our daily needs. We need to plan for emergencies. We need to plan for retirement. We also need to plan for death. We need to plan for death. If you are the money earner in your family, what would happen if you died today? How would your family bring in the money that you are bringing in today? How are they going to restore that? I remember talking to a guy in his 50s. He said, I don't believe in life insurance. I just have enough money. If I die, they can bury me. My wife can go out and get her job. In their 50s, you know what? He died within a year, and his wife went out looking for a job, and because she was in her 50s and had been a housewife all her life, nobody wanted to hire her. And anyone who was willing to hire her were not willing to pay the amount of money she would need to live her life. She ended up losing her home and ended up in great financial trouble. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Make sure you have life insurance for your family. And you say, well, I have it at work. If you have it at work, it's not enough. Usually where it covers a year or two salary, it's not enough. You ought to have some on your own that you can have set aside in case something happens to you so your family has money to live on. Don't fail to plan for your death. One of the great failures that people have in their finances is simply failing to plan. You know, there's an old saying that says if you fail to plan, you're really planning to fail. Mistake number two.
Notice right here in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Second mistake people make is laziness. You know, we live in a society that has forgotten how to work, and people have become lazy. Now, 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. Do you know nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that we ought to feed the lazy? It says feed the poor, but we're not told to feed the lazy. Someone's just too lazy to work. We're not anywhere told that we should take care of them. But we are told to take care of those who are having struggles and trying to do the best they can. Proverbs 19:14 says, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish, he will not even bring it back to his mouth. Can you imagine that? It's trying to give us an idea of what a slugger looks like. You know, he's just so lazy. He buries his hand in a dish, and he's so lazy he's not even willing to bring it back up to feed himself. I wish I had done that last night when Connie made homemade chicken soup. I went back for thirds, and then for the next 2 hours we're wishing I hadn't. Proverbs 14:23 says, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Have you ever been around one of those guys that's always chasing fantasies? He's always going to make his money on the next million. The Bible says, look, all hard work brings a profit. In other words, if you work hard, if you are wise in what you're doing, then it will pay off and your needs will be met. Good old-fashioned hard work.
So many people get themselves into financial trouble because they're just simply not willing to work. They're lazy. For example, if you look around your home, we're not just talking about going out on a job, but if you look around your home, you may see things that are need taken care of. But if a person is lazy and they don't take care of those things around their home, then sooner or later, those things are even worse. And you let them go further and they're even worse. And by the time you get ready to take care of them, sometimes they're beyond repair or they take much more money because you hadn't taken care of it. Don't be lazy. Be willing to work hard. Be willing to work smart. Be willing to do the things that you need to do, the upkeep on your home, to go out and find a job. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I don't have a job. And, you know, you'll ask them, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm collecting unemployment. Okay, well, that's fine, but are you looking for a job? If you don't have a job, you ought to be looking for a job. And if you don't have a job, you ought to be out there, you know, 40 hours a week, if need be, looking for a job. Some people will say, well, I haven't found the right job that meets my my abilities. Well, that's all right, too. Then find something that brings money home, that feeds your family. But don't be lazy. Be willing to work. Mistake number three. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23. Of course, when we're living in times like we are, any kind of mistake during these kind of times make things worse. Mistake number three, misplaced priorities. Misplaced priorities. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4 and 5. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Cast but a glance at riches and they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. Some people are wearing themselves out just to get rich, willing to set everything aside just so they could have more. It is unfortunate that we still live in a world where so many people think that money will buy happiness, and it will not. Winning the lottery is not going to buy happiness. Suing someone so you have whole bunches of money is not going to buy happiness. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, Jesus said, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." People who have more aren't happier than people who have less. And people who have less aren't necessarily happier than people who have more. The reality is, it's not what you hold in your hand, but it's what's going on in your heart. And some people get so messed up with their priorities that it really messes them up financially. You know, we have young couples today that are getting married and they want their whole house and all of the, you know, the furniture and everything that goes with it. They want it all in place the very day they get married. And why do they want that? Because they've looked at their parents and their parents may have those things. But realize their parents work 20 and 30 years sometimes to get those things. Misplaced priorities. People who want to go into debt just so they can have a little bit more. People willing to sacrifice their family, sacrifice their relationship with God, sacrifice all the things that could be dear in life just so they could have a little bit more. I did a little checking this week and updated some of my figures. Do you know that the average balance on the average credit card in our day and age is $8,000? The average interest rate is 19%. And late fees now are $35, and I think the other day I just saw they might have gone up again. The average household has 10 credit cards. Almost half the households in America report difficulty just paying their minimum payments. The Americans paid out approximately $82 billion last year in interest alone. The typical monthly payment on the typical credit card is 10% principal and 90% interest.
If your credit card balance is $8,000 and you make the minimal monthly payment on an 18% credit card, it will take you 25 years and 7 months to pay off that credit card. You will pay $15,432 in interest charges, almost twice the balance, bringing your total up to $23,000 that you will pay on that credit card. If you didn't have your credit card payment, you would instead have $218 a month on that same $8,000 to be able to put towards retirement. If you put that money away for 25 years, you could retire on over $1 million. Don't wear yourself out to get rich, notice. Have the wisdom to show restraint. I've worked with some very rich people in my lifetime, most of them unhappy, most of them divorced, most of them miserable. And I say this often, but let me say it again. Men, make sure that you date your wives after you're married. Whatever your finances are, whatever you know you're dealing with financially, make sure that you continue to date. Do so on a weekly basis. If you can't do it on a weekly basis, at least bi-weekly, but take your wives out on a date. You don't have to spend a lot of money. You could just go for a walk. You could do something, but take your wives and date them. Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And God says, and all these things will be added to you as well. Have the wisdom when to know when to come home from work. Mom and dad, don't work so much that you sacrifice your own children. Don't work so much that you're not being parents. Spend time with your kids. Spend time raising your own children. Money issues are in every report I've ever seen has always been within the top five, if not the top three reasons for divorce. In fact, Psychology Today in 2001 said money is the leading cause of divorce today. Misplaced priorities. We think because if we have some more things or a nicer car or a nicer home or a nicer, you know, whatever, it's going to make us more happy, and it's simply not true. Because we seek those things, we end up going in more and more debt and creating more and more financial stress and creating more and more divorce, creating more and more kids growing up that are all messed up. Just for the sake of one or two other things that we didn't have. Misplaced priorities. Now, number four. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 15. The fourth mistake that people make financially, and trust me, this morning I could list a ton more. I picked these four because I think they're some of the bigger ones. But the fourth mistake that people make financially is not seeking advice. Not seeking advice. Notice Proverbs 15, verse 22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. With many advisors, they succeed. Most people say, look, I don't know anything about money. That's okay. As long as you get good advice. You know, the number one killer here is pride. Pride. People say, if I ask advice, they're going to think I'm stupid. No, you're only stupid if you don't ask for advice. You're only stupid if you're having financial issues, financial difficulty, and you are unwilling to ask anyone because you're afraid you might look dumb. That is the only time you become stupid, because you are pushing yourself right into financial disaster. If you don't know anything about retirement, find someone who does. If you don't know how to keep a checkbook, find someone who could show you how. If you don't know how to, you know, save, find someone who could tell you how to do it. If you don't know about life insurance, find someone who will tell you. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Be willing to seek advice. I mean, from the smallest thing of balancing a checkbook to retirement to budgeting to all those kinds of things, you need to be willing to seek advice. The thing that will keep you from doing that is simply pride. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11 and verse 14. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure. So the truth even goes up to a nation. Your nation will fall if it doesn't have some good advice, if it doesn't have many advisors. Family will fall financially if they don't have advice, if they don't have the wisdom they need to help them with their financial issues. You know, some people are good at some things and other people are good at other things. If you are married, maybe your wife is better at keeping the checkbook. Maybe you're the person better at keeping a checkbook if you're a guy. You know, maybe you don't want your husband to go shopping with you because when he goes, you're going to spend more. That's usually the truth, you know. A wife will go out and she'll go out shopping and for groceries, and she'll spend money. She'll come home, she'll say to her husband, you know, I spent, I don't know, $100 on groceries this week. And he said, why'd you spend so much money? He said, I'm going to go and show you how to do it. And almost always they'll spend more. I know in my family that's true. If I go with my wife grocery shopping, we always spend more money. I mean, we go to the Giant Market on Greenwich Street, and we'll go in the Giant Market, and we'll be walking around, and I'll see goodies. You know, oh, hon, we got to have these. We got to have some kind of snack. We'll go by, you know, the bakery section. Oh, man, this looks good. How about we just get one or two? We'll go to the deli section. Man, these salads look great. Or, you know, you'll see, like, they make macaroni salad. Something like, oh, you know, hon, this looks really good. Maybe we should get some of this. We always spend more when I go. Always. More times than not, I just don't go grocery shopping. I did yesterday, and we spent more. I just don't do it. If I do it, we spend more. If you're married, find out what husband you do best and wife what you do best and work together. One of you may be better at finances. One of you are better at, you know, something else in the house. But work together. And if neither of you have the wisdom, the knowledge to deal with it, then find someone who can give you advice to be able to do that which is wise. So four mistakes that people make. They fail to plan. They don't work hard because they're lazy. They fail to keep their priorities right. And they don't look for good advice. Let me give you some good advice this morning. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. You know, the best thing I could say this morning is do the opposite of these four things. Plan. You know, if you have a goal of retirement, of, you know, having money so that you can live a decent life, realize Social Security is not going to cut it. And if you are still in your 20s or 30s, there's a very good chance Social Security won't even be there. So make sure you have money set aside besides Social Security that you have money to retire on. Plan. If you want a new car next year, new doesn't have to be new. Maybe it's a used car, but it's new to you. Start putting money aside so that you're ready when that time comes. Even if it's like a fourth of a car payment or a half a car payment, whatever, start setting money aside so that you're able to do that. If you need new tires, start setting money aside. If you know your refrigerator's going, start setting money aside. Plan for those kinds of things. Be willing to work hard. That verse we read says, a little slumber, a little sleep, and scarcity will come on you like an armed bandit. Keep your priorities right. Make sure that they don't get out of whack. And seek good advice. Let me give you some. Proverbs 30, verse 7. Kibby read this before. Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. I love this passage. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. That's the first thing he's asking for. Second thing he's asking for is, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. He's saying, help me not to lie, but also help me to be in a place where I don't have too much or I don't have too little. Why? Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Jesus often talked about the rich and their unwillingness to turn to God. And that is very possible, but it's also true that you can become poor and then go out and steal and so dishonor God. So a simple proverb that kind of helps us to keep our head on straight. God, don't give me too much that I can't handle. Don't give me too little that I can't handle. Keep me in a spot where I know how to deal with my finances and keep me in a place where it keeps my heart right before you. Let's pray. Father God, I pray this morning for anyone who may be here that's really going through financial difficulties. I pray, Lord, that you may give them the wisdom they need to get out of the financial mess. And Father, we think with all the layoffs of workplaces, jobs, I pray, Lord, that you might meet the need of families that are represented here. And Father, we already know that some have already been laid off and some possibly face a layoff. But Father, we know that you are bigger, you are greater than any job. So I pray, Lord, that you might meet the need. And even in the midst of that, Lord, that you might draw those involved closer to you. Give us, Father, wisdom with our finances. Help us not to be too proud that we're unwilling to seek help. Work, Lord, in this area, for Father, we know if we honor you in this area, we shall honor you in other areas. So, Father, I pray that you might bless every life here today, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.